Life can always use more Cedar Point. And right now, you can get more Cedar Point for less with the Fun Day Bundle for just $74.99. Each bundle gets you admission, parking, and all-day dining for one low price. That means more coasters like Steel Vengeance and more nostalgic fun in the boardwalk area. But you better hurry because this bundle won't last. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Secured by watchful guards and neighboring mountain ranges from prying eyes, in the Nevada desert sits one of UFO history's most recognizable sites. Having a long history of military secret projects and an air of almost complete secrecy, this airbase has played host to the CIA, the Air Force, and if some reports are to be believed, extraterrestrial visitors. Recently, declassified documents have brought to light the amazing histories of some of American aviation's greatest breakthroughs, which were developed, assembled, and tested in the skies above this secret base. But was it only man-made innovations that were tested within the secret hangars? Hyper-advanced military aircraft, secret military experiments in anti-gravity, massive underground facilities, and even alien interrogations? All these things have been claimed to be occurring on the grounds of one of the world's most secret, but not secret, military bases. This case file joined the theorists as they strap in, turn up the oxygen, and prepare to go supersonic into the mysteries surrounding Area 51.
Welcome to Alien Theorist Theorizing Case File 91, Area 51.
Woo!
I'm Braden.
I'm Zell.
I'm Dan.
I'm Andrew.
I was like,
oh, we lost him.
Keeping the streak alive that we can't do this right ever.
Well, did Braden introduce himself? I didn't hear it. I was waiting for him.
Yeah.
That's the first one. I'm Braden.
This is the problem with doing it at fucking Mongoose Studios. I'm just way too distracted. Zelly usually keeps me in check.
No, I try.
You know what? The one thing I did
snapping fingers at him like, eh.
Oh, totally. You should see the stern looks I get when I'm playing on my phone.
He's played fucking Sonic the Hedgehog on his phone when we're trying to record a podcast.
You know what I wanted to talk about here? I wanted to talk about the fact that Andrew gave himself a nickname of the Mongoose.
Self-promoted
mongoose.
Well, no, it traveled around the rugby team for a bit and it stuck.
Oh, I'm not on that rugby team, so as far as I know, you're here calling yourself the mongoose.
Yeah, where did mongoose come from? Rugby team.
I don't know. Assuming that there's lots of mongooses in Lebanon, my rugby coaches kept calling me the Lebanese mongoose.
Is there mongooses in Lebanon?
Yeah, there is. That's one of them. I think, I can't remember, it's either a hyena or a mongoose is the national animal. But I don't know, every time I'd get a try, he'd start screaming.
He'd start fucking. They're two very different animals.
Yeah, you're like, it might be relevant to where I'm from or not.
Well, I don't know. Take it easy here.
Be a hyena or a mongoose.
Yeah.
Same.
A very large badger.
Every time I'd score, he'd just yell, the goose is loose.
Yeah, but does he mean like a goose, like a fucking Canadian goose?
Yeah, those things are mean too.
Well, because he calls me the Lebanese mongoose, and then he says the goose is loose, so maybe some type of mongoose/goose hybrid, I don't know.
I'm not really sure what the like attributes of a mongoose is. Like if someone was like, you know, when we used to call our buddy Nick the honey badger, right? Because like honey badger don't give a fuck.
Well, mongooses are quick, small, quick animals, and if some things are to be believed, they are immune to cobra venom.
Yeah, they are. They love fighting snakes, so it's awesome.
They do fight snakes.
Those are pretty sweet videos, actually.
I've watched about three documentaries on them. I've gone down the mongoose hole.
The most famous mongoose is Rikki Tikki Tavi from Rudyard Kipling's.
You remember that? The Jungle Book story? Fucking right.
That's fucking cobras.
Interesting.
Yeah, there you go. Now you know.
That's how it all was founded.
All right, let's get into some quick and brief space news. Full disclosure for space news here. I'm seriously unprepared for this case file. And the reason is I was actually tasked to head down to Vegas a little early to make sure to scope out and make sure everything's going to be safe for everyone else.
Do the prep work.
I did the prep work. So I was there this weekend just on some personal business. And I'm fucking mighty, mighty hungover. There was a lot of fun was had. That was about me draw drunk the whole time.
Did you get us banned from any bars before we even go down there?
Yes, we will not be able to go to the Tournament of Kings. Turns out, Spain really gets upset when you call him a bum and throw your chicken legs at him. So,
so is that like a medieval times type thing?
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah, that I was sitting in Hungary and Spain, not so much underhanded tactics, but he dethroned Hungary's knight, which was my knight at the time. Mm. And then he was just a real pretty boy, just a bum. So I let him know how I felt.
Was sounds like a fucking bum.
You're very vocal in your dislike of him.
I just kept yelling, "You're a bum."
Yeah, good.
All right, space news. What
you guys
are
gonna have to. You're gonna have to pull a cable guy when you get down there and get in the pit.
No, I'm good. I want nothing to do with Spain. Okay, space news. Trump says that the U.S. will develop space-based missile defense. So the U.S. is going to be essentially what their goal is to intercept, detect, and destroy missiles launched against the U.S. anywhere, anytime, any place from space.
So are these missiles coming from space, or are these missiles coming from like?
Wait, no, it's a space-based missile defense system.
Yeah, space-based. So,
space-based. So it could be, that's really anything. Like, we already have missile detection systems in place. Like,
yes, but now they want those detection systems to become destroyer systems.
Oh, so we're digging up Star Wars.
Yeah,
we're digging up the
destroy. And the tag says anywhere, anytime, any place. From space.
Bring it, brother.
I wonder if he fucking just watched the Star Wars trilogy for the first time and he's getting all these fucking ideas. Just sitting there with a notepad being like, this is fucking genius.
Let me tell you something. That tagline sounds like something cut straight from a Macho Man Randy Savage promo. Anywhere, anytime, any place from space. Yeah.
Space.
Space. Beast in space. But so... prepare for that. How many missiles are getting launched?
What the fuck was that?
Well, I was thinking in my head. I was like, when's the last time, you're like, oh, good thing we have these missile defense systems. Like, maybe Jerusalem and like Palestine could use those. But like, Like,
those are like.
Those aren't big
missiles. He's more worried about intercontinental ballistic missiles that travel that high at that altitude.
Suborbit,
like those little missiles that Israel and Palestine kind of launch at each other all the time are do not travel that high. Like ground-based missile defenses would be better for them, which I think they do have. But yeah.
Who are we kidding, Dan? Trump thinks the Empire exists and he's prepping for a fucking invasion.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah.
He fully thinks Darth Vader is out there.
He might be.
Oh,
well, a laser satellite's not going to do much to deter like a Venator class Star Destroyer. It's going to be.
They all have vents, so I don't know.
Okay, the other thing
takes one torpedo.
It's all takes one vent and one torpedo, and problem solved.
The one other thing with this government's shutdown, like normally TSA always gives me a hard time. I always get like pulled aside. Honestly.
True.
I didn't know none of them are getting paid. They could not have given a flying fuck. They were like,
I could imagine.
The guy's just like waving me through the metal detector and it beeped. It was like beep, 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 beep. And I thought, I was like, I stopped. And he's like, keep going, keep going. I was like, all right, okay.
How did you bring that story back to Vegas from?
I just remembered, I was thinking Trump, and then I remembered how lax the. They're talking about they need security from space, but meanwhile, their non-paid TSA agents are just waving everyone fucking through the metal detector.
There we go.
A fuck.
There we
That's
go.
How I brought it back.
Come on in. Come on in.
All right, what else we got?
This Russian startup wants to put billboards in space, and astronomers
aren't. In space.
Astronomers aren't impressed. The company is called Orbital Display, and it's pretty much exactly what it sounds like. They want, through the use of these little sat cubes, like mini sat cubes, they want to pretty much put advertisements in the sky, and you could have it like Amazon.com for like 10 seconds, and then it just disappears, and then something else pops up in the sky. So there's, you know, we can't, it's like there's not enough marketing yet. We got to put it in space. That's pretty much what they're trying to do.
That's harsh. We don't need that.
Yeah, that would ruin the night sky, I imagine. Like, you wouldn't be able to see anything.
Like, it'd be so fucking
giant
bright all
Coca-Cola
the time.
Coca-Cola ads and McDonald's ads.
Well, the thing would be if, say, you wanted it at one event, like, say, you wanted it for the Olympics or something, but it's so far in space, like, so many people would see it. It would take up so many people's sky. Like, yeah, it seems like.
Fucking Marlboro man tipping his hat from space. No, not down with that. That's
use those
retarded.
Satellites for something better. Do something better. That's it. That's all I got.
So there's already enough like space trash. Like, don't need a whole thing. Add billboards into it.
No, nope, please don't.
No. Nope. No bueno. Take that away.
Goddamn dystopia we're living. This is Blade Runner. Like, we're getting there.
Getting close.
Getting there.
That's exactly what I thought of when they were talking about the space ads.
You know what, future I do not like? Remember Minority Report, where like there was like certain like ads that would just pop up to you, and they'd be like yelling your name as you walk through the mall? Like pop-up ads?
Yeah.
Like,
so annoying.
I'm not into that. Like, that'd be terrible.
We have those already.
That's coming close, yeah.
Yeah, but imagine now walking around and being like,
that's the next, man. That's
Brayden,
next.
You want to grow your penis? Brayden! Brayden! Try these penis enlargement pills. I'd be like, man, I click on
Brayden,
one ad.
Brayden, who lives at... like,
I click on one ad.
One ad, one time. Lifelong advertisements for penis enhancement pills. Yeah.
So I'm not... Dan, what do you got for space news?
The magnetic North Pole is shifting alarmingly fast.
She gone.
Yep. And they're not 100% sure why it's moving so fast. The Earth's magnetic pole does shift. That's been known to happen before. And it does make sudden shifts every now and then, which we're able to, you know, compensate now that we have satellites and stuff. It's not that big a deal anymore to change our navigation systems and working around that. But this time they're not 100% sure why it's moving so fast. And this kind of gives that warning, or some people kind of get worried about the magnetic pole shifting, which could potentially be, totally disastrous for us.
Like a rapid flip.
Could it also potentially like
flip.
Not really do anything?
Yes.
Okay.
Probably. So, with the North Pole shifting, it's just a little weird. Most scientists say it's just because the like a moving of a large deposit of iron in the Earth's core just kind of moved around, which happens because it's just liquid down there. So it's not that big a deal, but it's some people are alarmed at the movement. It's shockingly fast. It's just kind of like, whoa, that happened. So
it's crazy.
Yeah. They did have to delay their model of the Earth's magnetic field until January 30th. They were going to put it out like January 15th, but then they had to delay it till we get a new one.
Get it right.
Yeah. That's how fast. I mean, that's kind of nuts. It's just that they had to delay a whole model like for that kind of thing. It's for the U.S. military's request, but you know, that's kind of nuts that they had to change a whole thing for them.
Oh, for sure.
Mm.
Who knows?
Any other space news?
Negative.
Oh, who saw the super blood wolf moon?
Why blood wolf moon? Why not just like
here's the thing.
Lunar eclipse?
We've talked about this. It's getting crazy. I feel like every fucking other month, there's some super fucking moon.
Right?
Right? So the greatest super fucking dolphin moon, the total eclipse of the full moon, the heart
ultra
moon.
Ultra mega high definition 4K blood super mega moon.
That's where it's
honestly,
going.
Honestly, I'm like, what's happening? I don't remember this ever having super moons and all this shit when I was a kid. That's what we should be concerned about, people. Why are all the, what's going on?
How could there be so
moon,
many?
Super blood moon, super blood wolf moon, super blood wolf moon tournament edition, super blood moon, our special edition arcade version, super blood.
Sounds like a fucking badass metal name.
It does.
I'd listen to that band for sure.
It's honestly like it's ridiculous, but
moon was cool.
Awesome pictures. Awesome pictures.
Yeah, we got some good pictures.
It was actually pretty clear here in Kelowna, and I looked up and it was pretty red. Pretty cool.
I'm not gonna lie. I don't know about the wolf everything part was had a little too. Red for me yesterday, so I was
just bloodshot eyes, couldn't see anything.
Bloodshot eyes, they couldn't see anything. I was looking through a couple crescent moons. So
if you or anyone you know turned into a werewolf, please send pictures.
Yeah. Let's get into, why don't we fire up the X3.
It's back this week.
And get a UFO case file of the week. Let's see what it spits out.
We're thinking at it right now.
UFO.
Wow. Okay. Philadelphia witness has good view of UFO. This is by Roger Marsh. This is very recent too. January 18th. That's as we are talking 3 days ago.
Bum, bum, bum.
A Pennsylvania witness at Philadelphia reported watching a hovering orb that eventually flew away. According to the testimony in case 95886 from the Mutual UFO Network. Witness reporting database. The witness was in South Philadelphia, born and raised.
I couldn't help myself.
Playground was where I spent most of my days.
Chilling out back and relaxing. Anyways, at 11 p.m. on October 26, 2018. So it's old, but the report's new. I was holding my three-month-old son and looking out my north-facing third-floor window. Very, very specific. The witness stated, there is an airport nearby, and I see loads of helicopters and drones. But this was different. This was different than anything I have seen in the 7 years that I have lived here. The witness said he sees many objects from the master bedroom window on the third floor. Does he have more than one master bedroom? Numerous floors?
Hmm.
I have five windows that face north, south, and west, and I have no curtains. Since I like to see the city views, what I saw was a large, bright red glowing orb, about 11 to 30 feet in diameter. That's a big range. It could have been 10 or 50 feet in diameter that hovered erratically and changed colors every 30 to 60 seconds, then don't call it a fucking bright red glowing orb. He calls it a bright red glowing orb. So what colors did it change?
In details,
oh, here
people.
He goes. Sorry. My
different
apologies.
Shades of red.
My apologies to the witness. I just didn't read far enough. It changed from completely red to completely green, then completely blue. It was red most of the time, and I don't think it was a sequential pattern. I believe it was random because I saw more red and green than blue. The witness said the orb was flying east, and then it would hover and stay completely still. It then changed direction and flew west very quickly and disappeared. The total viewing was about 5 minutes. I've scoured the news and have seen no other accounts of this, which is perplexing because there should be multiple witnesses. South Philly is a busy area on Friday night because of the cheesesteak places that tourists line up at. I'm hoping someone else out there saw this as well. MUFON Pennsylvania field investigator William Morse closed this case as yet another unknown.
Is this guy a fucking pirate or what? What's with
I
the
liked. I just. I couldn't help but read it as a pirate. Just the way the way he cadences his writing. It was completely red and then completely green.
Pirates of Philadelphia.
Blue. Yarr. It was perplexing. I couldn't help myself.
Dude, perfect. Every single time you tell a fucking story, you sound like you're doing a pirate voice.
Well, as soon as people listed threes, right? I was like, I have a window that faces north, south, and west. I can't help myself. You know what I mean? Like, as soon as you're putting things in three, I can't help myself.
Oh, that's fucking hilarious.
It is all the time. What I saw was large, bright red, glowing orb.
That's the fucking voice.
That's like, the voice.
Are you trying to be more piratey, or because that's
yeah,
exactly
that's
how
what
it
I was
sounds.
That's what I was trying to be piratey.
That's a normal voice for you. It just comes out.
It is 100%. As soon as people really, that's what I always read. Every single time,
I had to fucking say something because it's all I can picture is the pirate from Family Guy. Every time you tell a fucking story,
it was a cold night.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, well, there you go. Anyways.
It was fun.
Thank you to Captain Roger Marsh for that.
Compelling tale.
Yeah, it's a compelling tale of the UFO. The UFO in South Philly. All right. Shit. Let's, little Area 51 coming up. What cool thing about this is we're going to be there soon.
We're going to go as close as we can.
Yeah, as close as we can. We're going to wave.
No waving.
We're not allowed to wave?
Don't even
not
look.
Not allowed to wave. Well, you can't wave at the guards. Oh. At the people who are watching.
Or what happens if they
wave?
What happens if you fucking wave? They're going to shoot you?
Like, probably.
Probably.
What? You know what? They you know can. What? Some guy? It's some guy fingers you and he goes, fuck you. Yeah. You're like, oh.
I mean, I've seen videos of people getting all kinds of jammed up there. You know, you get people held at gunpoint. You can't walk past. They're... the really famous picture that you do usually see is the sign for Area 51. You know, this is government property. Do not trespass. No photos, no video. And it's on this is what's considered the back gate of the area. And like if you go there, usually this place is covered. Like the approach is covered. It's down a dirt road and you drive all the way down and the road is apparently covered, and I think you can see a couple of them. It's covered with like pressure sensors, magnetic sensors, sound microphones, everything, you name it. And so they can detect your approach on that road. Like as soon as you turn off the main road, they know that you're coming. And I've seen videos where it's like people, as soon as they turn off, they can see white trucks and things like converging lines of dust, and they kind of pull up right behind the sign and just watch you see what you're doing. So there's always someone.
You know,
there.
It's those guys, like, that's their only job right now, really, because no one's really trying to get in there. So they're like, oh, okay, something to do. And they just go fuck with people at the gate.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Sure. It's something. Yeah. I mean, you don't have, it's such a huge base. Like, this base itself is something like 90,000 acres. And it's like, when you've got that much, it's like you've got nothing else to do except drive around and you sit in your truck all day. And it's got to be.
No better butter fucking wave at us today.
Yeah.
I'm just itching to get my gun out.
Oh, I'm going to piss whip the next son of a bitch that waves at me.
It would make it'd probably make their day, sure, you know. Something right interesting to happen that day.
Yeah.
Probably a lot of paperwork, though. They probably don't want to do it.
So what's let's get into the history. What makes Area 51 such a hotbed for, you know, people like us?
First thing I got to say is Area 51 is so cool because pretty much everything leads to Area 51. Every theory comes back here. You got aliens, you got secret military planes, like spy planes. Everything leads back. You got underground tunnels. You got all these theories that converge on Area 51, except no one really knows much about it. So the theories are boundless, and that's why it's so fun to talk about. But Dan, you know, what's the history of it? Like, where did it start?
Well, Area 51 has been around for a long time, at least the land that's been there. Originally, it was a...
the land?
No, I mean, like,
the land has been there since the dawn of time.
I thought you were going back pirate.
Yeah, I was hoping for
Yeah, it's been there since the pirates, since pirates were around. I'm pretty sure. So, no, it's actually been in, like, the military has ran stuff there for a long time. Most of the land that used to be there, it used to be a World War II aerial gunnery range for the Army Air Corps pilots. In 1954, President Eisenhower approved a development program for the first, or what was going to be the, it was going to be their best reconnaissance aircraft. This was the U-2 program. The U-2 is going to be the highest flying and pretty much quickest jet, so they would be able to keep an eye on the Soviet Union without them being able to shoot down our planes.
Wasn't it called Project Aquatone or something cool like that?
It was called, yep, as Project Aquatone.
Dope name too.
Man, I love all the fucking, they, I'll give you this, the States has the best fucking code names.
Oh,
for
great
the
names. MK Ultra.
Yeah, they've got really cool code names, and but they've got a whole bunch of them. It's most of these projects will have multiple, they all have like multiple names for their projects. There's just a ton of them, which are all super cool ones, but some of them are just like kind of really dumb. I'll get to one that's really, really dumb down the line. So beginning in the mid 1950s, Area 51 has been a place where they have tested experimental or developing aircraft for, first it was the CIA and then it was the Air Force. And pretty much everything that they've done there has always been top secret. They've got all this land to work on, and they just really needed a place to test out experimental aircraft that they didn't want anybody seeing. And this land is perfect for it. It's surrounded by mountains, so you can't really get close to it without being seen, and people can't see over the mountains, really. At the time when they were building it, they didn't have to worry about satellite. They didn't really have to worry about satellite photography at the time. Satellite reconnaissance wasn't a thing until the Soviets started launching Sputnik and all that. And then they had to actually worry about being spied on from the sky. But it's just the perfect place. It's this huge flat area where you can pretty much put anything. And the actual base itself of Area 51 doesn't really take all that much space of like the 90,000 acres that are there. The base picks up a relatively small part. It's just a couple hangars, a couple buildings, like nothing really all that impressive from
airstrip.
The pictures that we've seen. Yeah, and just the airstrip. But yeah, they've tested all kinds of cool, from the official reports that we have, documents that were declassified as recent as 2013.
Yeah.
We've had all the super cool planes have come through there. You've had the A-12, which was the precursor to the SR-71. And
oh, man,
also
the A-12 the contemporary is badass. One. It looks just like fucking it's out of Star Wars, man.
Mm-hmm. And these, and those jets, like the A-12 and stuff, those were made in like the 1970s. Like, and you have to think of like, an A-12 or an SR-71 made were around since the 70s.
Yeah,
they had
bananas.
These things.
I think the A-12 was like, I think it was in the 60s, to like 68 or 62. Something. It was, it was developed 69? In 62, but had missions till 68. Something like
yeah,
that.
The first test flight was in 62, apparently.
Oh, I'm thinking about the other one. I'm thinking about the like the drone they had. They had an unmanned aerial drone that was based off of the designs of those two. Of the A-12 called the Lockheed D-21. It was an unmanned aerial drone, which they've had around since they introduced in 1969. And it basically just looks, it looks like just a little, it's a missile with like little wings.
Camera
and,
on it.
Yeah, it looks like a just one single engine of one of the SR-71 or like off the A-12. And you would just fly that and just send it off to take pictures. And pretty nice. I guess you just fire it like a missile, but and then go pick it up.
Okay, let's stop here. Let's go over this. It wasn't until 2013 that the government made any admission that Area 51 even existed.
Mm-hmm.
So for what? Yeah. 50 years, these guys are out there in the middle of the desert building experimental aircraft, and There's always been rumors of it. And I think it was like 2001 that Air Force mentioned its existence, but not until 2013 that was there any mention of what they were doing. So just that secrecy alone just like leads to so many crazy theories.
Oh, yeah. And there's tons of stories, both that are, you know, plausible or some that are fantastical. But I mean, there's a lot of really cool stories about Area 51, about the stuff that have actually come out of there. I think my personal favorite off the in the official books is Project Have Donut.
is this for the SR-71?
No, the Project Have Donut was the documents pertaining to how they tested covertly obtained Soviet MiGs. Originally during like the Vietnam War, you had things like the MiG, I think it was the MiG-17s. Like you had MiGs that were totally demolishing US jets, like a 1-to-4 kill ratio. Every time like we tried to shoot down one of theirs, they would get four of our planes and take them down with relative ease. Oh, wow. And it wasn't until an Iranian like defector flew a stolen MiG to Israel, and we managed to recover it and take it back to Area 51. And it was a super secret project that they had to do. This was like secret beyond secret. And then they learned that really it was just a matter of learning how to fight it. Not that they had better technology, not that they had better stuff, but they just knew how to dogfight, and we didn't.
It's better pilots at the time.
So yeah, and it was just a matter of like, so you would see stuff like this. The Area 51 is not only a place to like develop and build planes, but it's where they test it. And they also tested a lot of like, they brought pilots there to fly against Soviet MiGs. So you'd probably have a bunch of pilots doing all kinds of crazy maneuvers and things like that.
So it's just like Top Gun?
Yeah, kind of.
Highway to the Millican Stage. Trouble for copyright.
Yeah, we're under 15 seconds or whatever it is. We're good. Who cares? No one listens. They're not listening.
Yeah. Kenny Rogers isn't.
Kenny Loggins.
Kenny Loggins. Yeah, same thing. Jeez. Same
Maybe
thing.
Kenny Rogers same, is same, listening. Same, same, but different. Is. I like the gambler.
Well, it's funny you talk. So they reverse engineered the Russian craft there? Is that what you're kind of saying?
That's proven, right? That was came out in the yes. in the documents.
Mm-hmm.
So
this is true.
Could they have reverse engineered anything else there, you think?
Aliens. I love when we get into the aliens.
Yes. That is the rumor, is that when we had the Roswell crash, that Area 51 is where they took the crash saucer and the mysterious occupants that were claimed to be inside. That's one of the rumors.
Well, I'm just going to say.
Area 51 didn't really enter into the realm of conspiracy until, into the big UFO community, alien conspiracy zone, until we hit Bob Lazar.
Bobby.
And if you follow anything about, you know, the UFO, I guess you could call it the UFO scene, you probably know who Bob Lazar is. And Bob Lazar was the man who in 1989 claimed to have been an engineer who had seen and worked on alien technology that was kept at Area 51.
But it wasn't just Area 51. He called it like S4.
Oh, S4. Yeah. S4 is a base that is on that land as well.
But there's been no other records of S4 except for Bob Lazar, right?
No, there's not. There's no official report of anything on that land except Area 51.
So Bob Lazar is pretty much saying that they recovered alien craft and reverse engineered their... This is where the theory of there's ET UFOs and then there's like the military UFOs, and they've just reverse engineered a ET craft, and they are flying around in something similar, and that's a lot of what the UFOs that people see. Pretty much all stems from this Bob Lazar.
Who claims to be a scientist and a physicist.
Unfortunately, yeah, it seems like...
He's from MIT and California, Caltech and all these other things, right?
Yes, that's him.
Claims.
claims, and which they have no, you know, conveniently, they have no record of Mr. Balthazar.
Okay, I got here. I was thinking about this earlier. So say Balthazar, he's legit. He did get his degree at MIT. And what was the other one?
Caltech.
He did get them. Or maybe he didn't go, maybe he didn't get degrees, but he went there for some reason. You don't think that if he did spill secrets, they couldn't discredit him by like erasing his records?
Oh man, there would be a fucking yearbook picture. There would be something. There would be some type of record of him going to these schools, which there is absolutely none of, right? Like,
well, there's record of that he
nobody that corroborates that he went to these schools. He can't put forth any evidence, anything that like any report cards or whatever from going to these schools, like
transcripts,
something. There would be,
I think
I went to fucking, I went to TRU fucking for 2 months before I dropped out, and I could pull up fucking 500 different things that prove that I went there, you know?
Yeah. I think the only thing that was found about him was he was like some type of contractor at one of those schools, but he didn't actually attend any classes. I can't remember which school it was. Anyone else come across that?
I found that he worked at a place that, he didn't go to the school, but it was one of the places that he worked at that he claimed.
Yeah, he was a contractor at one of those. Yeah, so.
Or he was pulling, what's the one with Matt Damon where he's the janitor? Goodwill Hunting.
That's exactly what I fucking thought.
Right? He's just totally solving all the equations on the fucking boards. He's like, yeah, I went to MIT. I was there.
Because this guy's no slouch, right? Like, you could see he's a pretty smart guy. Like, he turned his bike into a fucking, like a rocket-propelled bike or a jet. Was it a jet-powered bike?
I mean, I could do that.
Yeah, well, and you're no slouch. You're pretty fucking smart, man.
Give me $100 worth of fireworks and I can do my rocket propelled bike.
Duct tape and some fireworks.
That's my entry resume into Area 51 is my rocket propelled bike.
Well, and there's some records of him helping physics professors at that Los Alamos accelerator facility. And they've like corroborated that he has helped us out on all this on their research and shit like that, which is, you know what I mean? So obviously he knows some shit, but
He was well spoken in like ufology, and like he was saying all the right things. And he did mention something about back then an element 115, which didn't really exist at the time.
Which is element 115 is pretty awesome because if you play the XCOM games, Illyrium 115 is a reference to element 115.
I never played that.
You should.
It's
about aliens.
It's a pretty fun game. You just fight
pretty
aliens.
Red.
Yeah, but now,
so, like, what is he saying? Like, he got fucking Men in Blacked, where they burnt off his fucking fingerprints and deleted him from all his pictures and all that shit.
No, I don't think he's ever really been debunked like that. He just been debunked. His credit's been debunked, so his story never held up. He did claim element 115, which was named like unobtainium or something like that. And it
unobtainium.
Unobtainium. Is that what it is? Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of them.
And he claimed that. That is what the Zeta, the Greys, Zeta Reticuli, the same people that took Betty and Barney Hill on that famous abduction, they gave the military, like the U.S. government, I guess, I'm not sure if this is, what's the project where they supposedly exchange for alien technology, they let them like abduct citizens?
Oh, that's a rumored thing that they had. I can't remember what the actual project is called, but they said that one was something that was a deal that was brokered between Majestic 12 and President Dwight Eisenhower.
Right.
And that they were going to, in return for letting the United States have access to extraterrestrial technology, they would allow the UFOs or the Zeta Reticulans or whichever extraterrestrials they were dealing with, since apparently there's more than one, if that's to be believed, and they were to allow a certain amount of leeway in letting those extraterrestrials in taking people.
Project Serpo.
And cattle.
That's what it was.
Serpo.
Project Serpo.
That's what they call it.
Yeah, is that the exchange one? That's the exchange one, though.
Another cool name.
Oh. That's where they said Project Serpo is the one where they sent the, it was like it's supposed to be like an interstellar exchange program.
Oh, that's okay. Send the astronauts. Right. Well, anyways, okay, that's element 115. It turns out that it does exist in some fashion. And he claimed that it created, if manipulated right, it created gravity waves, which led to the anti-gravitic nature of the crafts coming in these UFO reports.
Right. Yeah. This element 115 had strange properties, which allowed it to fuel antimatter engines that they use, or antimatter propulsion system that they use, and also able to used in a device that created like gravity waves, which is able to produce and manipulate gravity waves. Sounds pretty cool.
So that's his claim. So that's why Bob Lazar is forever entrenched in the ufology, because
if you've watched the documentary about him, he claimed to have this VHS tape, and he had gotten a piece. I think he said he had gotten a piece of element 115 or something, or he had gotten his hands on some footage of an experiment with element 115. I think I saw some of it in the documentary. They kind of show you this video, but it's really kind of hard to tell what's going on. For me, it's hard to believe, because it's if you're experimenting with a really awesome element as cool as this, you'd have a better camera for doing that. It's not great camera work for whatever it's supposed to do.
Well, and he's got some type of weird sex scandal brothel shit going on too, just like every other UFO person. So that goes toward.
But that also, that kind of fuels the skeptics to be like, no, this was set up by the government.
Totally.
He discredited him.
He owned a legal brothel though at first. So whatever happened after that, I don't know. But he did own a legal brothel at the time in Nevada.
Because if you're a pretty awesome engineer and physicist, that's what you do, is you start a brothel.
Sounds like a smart investment.
It's a given.
Right? You know?
Hey.
That's why.
That's fucking marketing 101. Sex sells.
Hell yeah.
So, not a bad move. I mean, it doesn't help you in the credibility section.
It's a natural transition. You're studying about large gravitational anomalies which suck in all objects, and then you run a brothel.
Well, yeah, and he was kind of convicted in a way, wasn't he? He had to plead guilty, and he had to do some community service, but he never went to jail for it.
Yeah,
so I guess it's not like it wasn't a super.
One of those victimless crimes
in the States. Is prostitution, is it legal in Nevada but illegal federally? Yes. So they could bust you. Like federal, the feds could come in and bust you.
You know what? I'm not 100%.
I'm not sure either.
I know it's legal, or at least I've seen things or I've read that it's legal in Nevada, but not within Las Vegas city limits.
I think you guys are just gonna have to do some investigating when you get down there.
ATT is on it.
Yeah. We'll have a game where who can get more flyers, more prostitution flyers, because they throw them out everywhere, don't they?
Not anymore. That's done with, man. That's gone. Cleaned up. Yeah. Hmm.
It's a family place now.
Yeah. 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 Sure it is.
But Bob Lazar is not the only whistleblower from Area 51. There was also a man who went by the name Victor, who in 1997 in a radio interview said that he worked at Area 51. And this guy provided a video that shows, or supposedly shows, a human officer trying to communicate with a small extraterrestrial pilot telepathically.
That's fucking cool.
And it's a genuinely creepy video. If you watch it, we can post it somewhere because it's on the internet. You can look it up on YouTube. It's called Alien... I believe it's called just the Alien Interview, Area 51. And it's just you see this, it's in a pretty dark room. You pretty much just see from the back of where the officer would be standing. And you see this giant headed alien, which looks much like what you would assume a gray looks like. And it's pretty creepy when you watch it the first time. But the longer you watch it, it's kind of. The thing that they're using, it looks more and more like a puppet.
When you watch it, it
never blinks.
Is it as bad as a puppet as what was our buddy?
Fucking idiot. What was his name? Roman Chuck.
Roman Chuck.
Even Roman Chuck or some shit.
Yeah, that was
Alien outside the window.
Oh, yeah.
Like, okay.
Stan Romanek.
Looking like Kermit the Frog.
No, I mean, this one's actually pretty good, but it could also be because it's like VHS tape and not, it's not digital.
Oh, man, green, the way it's moving. No, it looks like it's.
Isn't it?
Yeah, the way it's moving is kind of fucking creepy. It's, like,
it's super creepy.
Someone post that link for me in the Discord.
Just take a look at it. It's freaking weird.
Totally weird.
But when I watch that video, like I watch it and it's, the thing doesn't blink ever. Like when it blinks. So I would think it's got these big, huge black eyes.
Maybe it doesn't have to blink.
Have to blink.
Yeah.
But you've got these huge, giant black eyes. Like maybe they have to blink.
Maybe they're like marble. Maybe they're not like water or like moist. I mean, moist eyeballs.
Possibly.
It totally looks like he's like, it's purposeful movement. You know what I mean? Like it definitely looks legit.
It is, yeah, it is creepy, right? Yeah. And it's just really weird.
Wait. It's like,
really keeps me out.
Wait.
You gotta just skip down to like, go to like 35 minutes, okay. 35,
41. Okay. Oh, so yeah, I just saw one at fucking 18 minutes and I was like, no, this is horseshit. That's not fucking.
I've seen that.
No. Yeah, they've got some really dumb ones at the beginning, but no, look at the about 30, yeah, 35.
Like 35. Oh, that's an alien for sure.
100%. That's fucking spooky, man.
Goddamn alien. So you only see his head.
Though. Maybe it doesn't blink because maybe it has something to do with like light reception. That's why they're in the dark.
It could be. I mean,
right? Like fish don't have.
I would think if you had
shit.
Really big eyes, they have to stay moist because that's what they. I don't know. That's
we can't.
But that's human anatomy.
We can,
I don't
yeah,
know
we can't assume. We can't assume the alien's anatomy. That'd be rude of us. Number one.
So.
Second, we have no way of knowing.
We can't even assume.
We're living
in
2019.
Damn it!
Can't assume anatomy anymore.
On extraterrestrial beings. I agree though, like we don't know what the fuck their eyes are doing, right? They probably don't even see the same way we do.
Right. Probably seen in fucking x-rays or something.
Yeah, maybe.
Some wave we don't even know about. We think we know everything, but we definitely don't.
Yeah. But it's amazingly creepy. That video
it does look kind of fake, but at the same time it's super creepy, so I can't go full right off here, but
looks like it's having a fucking stroke here at the end of the video.
Yeah, that's what they said. In the video, you see it kind of go into a type of seizure, and whether it's, you know, whether that's a cause that it's stressed out or just a way to kind of generate drama in some ways is you can't really know from the sound.
I haven't blinked in fucking 5 minutes.
Victor, the guy who reportedly got his hands on this video, said that he was able to obtain it because they were switching over from VHS format to a digital format and it just kind of got lost in the thing. So he was able to attain it that way. Kind of fell through the cracks.
Possible.
But, you know, sounds reasonable.
Like if you had to fake that, you had to do a little production. Like it would have been an easy fake. Well, I guess if you had money and like a good team behind you, you could do it. But if you're just one guy, tough.
And so where did these aliens come from that he said that they were investigating at Air 51 or talking with?
I'm pretty sure they're the Greys, the Zeta Reticulans.
I mean, these ones match the, at least that one matches the description of Zeta Reticulans. Those are the Greys. Those are the ones that.
That guy's from Orion's Belt. I've seen it in Men in Black. That's the fucking guy that's in that dude's head for sure.
He's too big.
Oh, yeah, that one's way too big.
Maybe they live for thousands of years and they just keep growing forever.
There you go.
can't assume that they stop growing like us. Maybe they just never mature. They're always going to the end.
How dare you assume that an alien's anatomy?
That's bullshit. I will not tolerate it on this podcast. We don't know anything about them. Well, we don't personally, but at Area 51, if you dig deep enough, someone knows something.
Okay, so here's my question. If they're doing all this stuff at Area 51. Do you think they still do, or do you think they've done? Because like everyone's kind of like knows about it.
Okay. I guarantee you they're still doing stuff. Think about this. 1976, the 71, SR-71, set like the fastest record for fastest manned flight that hasn't been broken yet in 76. What's happened since then? what kind of technology do they have now in the military that, like this, at this time, have not told anyone? It's like, it's kept in the dark in the government. There's like, you don't hear anything about it. It's completely classified. So for 50 years, this stuff is classified. In 2013, it comes out like, oh yeah, we're building all these planes and this is where it happened. And we're testing like, you know, anti-radar codings and all this stuff. But it took 50 years. So now in 76, you set the fastest manned flight at the time. And now what, we're 40 plus years later. And who knows what they have. So I think a lot of modern UFOs that people see are probably like human developed, but test flights. I'm still on board that they probably did get some type of alien craft or technology, or just develop some type of science that's been classified that they can build these like anti-gravitic crafts that can like distort time and like fly super fast. That's my theory.
Well, I'm 100% on board that they had something and they reverse engineer it. And that's why you've seen, we had such a technological boom come out, right? Because a lot of the stuff they saved for the military, right? And it would slowly leak out into the public sector, right? So we're, you know, microprocessors and, you know, crazy batteries. And
fiber optics was being developed in the 50s. And we like just getting fiber optic internet around the world now, like all the big communities have been connected, you know, 60 years later.
Yeah. So, no,
I think it's still going on.
See, I just, you know what? I think, I don't think it'd be still be going on. You can't really nowadays, like it'd have to be underground. Everything you're doing has to be underground.
How are you going to test fly it?
That's the thing, man. I was like,
but people see UFOs.
Someone's going to get a clip of it.
No, I mean, you can still test fly stuff out there because there is a huge, well, they call it the box. There's a huge amount of restricted airspace out there. Like they would have plenty of time to anything that was flying around out there. Even if you were trying to take satellite photos of something going on there, your satellites aren't that good to like pick something up out of the sky.
Yeah, it's 4,800 square miles of airspace. Yeah. Huge.
It's
huge.
It's a huge amount of space. You'd never be able to catch anything, especially if it was something that was moving. You wouldn't just be able to pick that up from a satellite.
You don't think that if they were developing anti-radar coatings then that they don't have some type of like cloaking?
Oh, 100%. Oh, yeah. 100%.
Active camouflage or something like that. Just like, or even just the fact that they would be able to paint it like a certain color. Like the U2 when they were first testing it out, they just used like a chrome coating. So it just reflected everything around it.
It just kind of looks like a glowing ball.
You can't really see anything.
Well, and big fucking deal if people do see it. They're just going to be like, you guys are fucked. You're crazy.
It's a UFO. Bullshit. Yeah.
It's all fucking bullshit.
Yeah. Something flying faster than you could possibly imagine and anything that we know of today. Yeah. You just write it off as a UFO. No doubt.
What you thought you saw,
even if you did
see
it, you know?
Very true.
What was that?
It's just hard for me to think. Like, I think, I don't know. Yeah, I guess it could. I just feel like there's so many eyes on the skies. No pun. But someone would. I guess people do. All right, see
show's
things.
Over, everybody. He said it.
That's it. See you next week. I just feel like. But then again, like I said, I guess people do see shit all the fucking time. There's always posts of weird fucking UFOs taking off, and so.
Well, they have like these alleged leak photos of those delta shape UFOs, like triangle craft, and they look pretty detailed. And people see a lot of delta shape like triangle UFOs, and people theorize that type of shape is the next generation of craft, and this actually has to do with this, like if it's not the element 115, it's some type of new propulsion that allows craft not to have to like sail through the air, like float through the air like they would like aerodynamics. But using gravity or some type of other like force to stay aloft. So that's where a lot of these new UFO sightings, like the theories kind of take us.
And if they were worried about stuff seeing, or if they're worried about people seeing things above ground, there is the claim that there's an underground facility or underground portion of Area 51 as well. And there are claims that it could be up to somewhere like 40 levels. Wow. And it's attached to other sites like Los Alamos or White Sands or even in Los Angeles by underground railways. Some people say maglev things, but even if it's maglevs, it also could be the stuff that it could be like a Hypertube, like Elon Musk is using,
or even the same technology they used on these that are using on these UFOs, but in a tunnel in a train form, like who knows?
Yeah,
I'm looking at it on Google Maps, man. There's so much like there's shit like the Papoose Mountains or whatever is that are right there. Like you could totally have something dug into the fucking.
That's where Bob Lazar claims that the S4 is that. Other site, and that he claims that's not really an Area 51 is where they're doing the aliens and UFOs, but it's actually this like site S4, and it's actually right by or right where you said in the mountains there and in that area. It's just cool. I love UFO theories. So
it's a I mean, there's some people that say those underground tunnels are huge. Like there's one person that said that they're the size of like two B-52 bombers. Like you could put them side by side and still have like 60 feet between the wings. And you could travel, like you could just go all the way.
That's as huge. Far as you want to go. That's Matt. What's a B-52 wingspan?
Huge.
Like 100 feet plus for sure.
Yeah.
You have like.
And that's. Yeah, something like that could be. And that's more for me is the mystery of like you have all this stuff that's. Above ground, like what's below, you know, is it one of the, do they have one of those kind of things that it's like, maybe they have one of those, the airstrip, right? And then the airstrip kind of opens up, like not, you know, it could open up either vertically, like a little bit or you know, horizontally, you know, opens up and then kind of stuff can fly in and then they just shut it on top.
Yep.
So it could be something like that or. You know, it's like it's almost most important military sites have an underground portion to them.
Makes more sense.
Where all the So I would be totally assumes weird stuff happened there. One little mystery thing to me though is that Area 51 has been around since the 1950s, but there was a time in the 1950s, I can't remember the exact year, that they had to evacuate the facility. Because they were doing atomic testing in the area. Like they were testing nuclear bombs they estimated that the fallout would go ahead and carry over the base. So, you know, they would cause alarm or danger, put these people in danger of, you know, contacting radiation illness. And so they had to evacuate the place. And it's like, for me, that's like, well, what were they doing? Were they really evacuating all these people just for that? Or because they wanted them all out of the base so they could
bring something in? Oh, I like that theory.
Ooh. You know?
Yeah.
So that's one of the things. Because that actually happened. Like, that's something that really did happen. So for me, that's like, well, that would be the perfect time.
Yeah, they did test them like 100 above ground nuclear tests. Not at Area 51, but there's a whole bunch of different area numbers around that place, right? So, so there was about 100 above ground tests of nuclear devices. So yeah,
I'm pretty sure like the soil in Area 51 is still radioactive. Like there's so much nuclear testing that's gone around in that area, and like fallout has spread around the area that it does have some radiation in it.
And pretty
so there's a lot of stuff that they've done there.
Pretty sure it gave rise to that movie, The Hills Have Eyes. The mutants in the hills.
Fuck that.
That's where it'd be. If it were going to be, it would be in Nevada.
Yeah. That's actually why I'm not coming to Vegas. I don't even want to fucking roll the dice on that shit.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be stuck out in the desert at night. That's fucking creepy as hell. Scary as fuck.
Yeah,
totally. Not just worrying about scorpions and stuff, but crazy radioactive hillbillies.
Yeah, and these guys are probably going to try and talk you into doing mushrooms out there.
No way.
Fuck that.
Fuck that.
I won't have to talk anyone into it, man.
What about, because just looking at a couple other things, why do they think, like I see things of like weather control and development of time travel and teleportation technology. Where does that stuff come from? Is that the same guys?
I think that comes more just out of theories of people. I think those type of theories.
Of just like what could be going on there.
Well, yeah, that's what like the sheer secrecy of Area 51 just led to so many theories. And then when Bob Lazar came out and said it, it kind of like directed it in one way mainly, which was like the anti-gravitic craft of element 115. But at the same time, it could be some type of time distortion or something like the technology. So I think that's where the theories has come from. Like it could be.
Yeah. The more secretive something is, it's just, there's nothing about it. And a lot of stuff is still classified from there. They released what they released in 2013, I think, was mostly the story of the U2, like the development of the U2. But there are tons of other stuff that is still top secret that they can't release. I mean, in some part, they developed stealth technology there, like the polymers that they use on stealth planes, like the F-117 and the B-2. The composition, stealth technology is not classified. The fact that we do have those materials, but the composition of those materials is still top secret.
Yeah, like it was so top secret there that, I don't know if you guys ever heard about, there was a lawsuit about the guy Robert Frost and this guy Walter Kosha. They were private contractor sheet metal workers. They were into Area 51 to work, and they kept complaining about the working conditions, and they ended up dying from, you know, unnatural causes, some type of contamination, whatever they were doing. And the family brought in a lawyer, Jonathan Turley, and he pretty much sued. He was trying to sue the government because he found everything Turley did. The government pretty much made it classified. And then he found a security manual, which is saying workers are entitled to so much safety compensation and all this stuff. All the government did was just take that, that's classified now. So no matter what he could do, he could never sue because he had no proof, because everything he had for evidence was just made classified. And then
that's wild, man. It's they didn't want him to do any digging.
Nothing at all. And then another guy came out shortly after that, Fred Dunham. He was a security guard in the 80s. And he was pretty much corroborating the story, because they said they just burned everything in pits. And this guy quoted as saying everything was burned in pits on the base twice a week. And the fires burned for 24 hours twice a week. There is burning whatever they're making, whatever type of coating. If it didn't work, they just burn it. And they wouldn't tell the workers what it was. The workers would just go and burn it. And I guess, you know, well, at least these two, the only two documented people to sue were the families of these two guys, Frost and Kosha. So pretty much forever, there was nothing that came out or went into Area 51. There was even in the testimony of the family, they told their wives that the government or Area 51 their managers there or whatever wouldn't let them bring in safety gear from the outside on their own dime, because we're not allowing anything in, nothing at all. So whatever was going on down there was so top secret. And this kind of makes me wonder too, because in the time of the Cold War, it was always a flexing match of who was developing the better weapons.
Yeah.
But they never flexed whatever was there. If it was just a spy plane, it got shot, one of them got shot down, and they're it wasn't very good. But if it was, I don't know, it just makes you seem like there's just more, that's more to the story than was ever let out.
Now, are there documents, because I know, and Dan, you'll probably know more about this, but have documents started to be released from freedom of information requests, or because I know JFK, you know, was sealed and slowly stuff, but does stuff ever get released from Area 51?
That's what we're talking about.
I think that's what we're talking about. That 2013 report is the only thing.
But that's the only thing. You think there's more, there'd be more stuff trickling out here and there, right? Because you had to seal it for 50 years or whatnot.
Yeah, but I think most of the big stuff that we have from there, they can only release stuff that isn't considered detrimental to national security. When somebody does the freedom of information request or whatever, somebody has to go through it and make sure that it's not going to actively impact the United States, national security. But that could be anything. They could really put that on anything.
What would upset the national security more than be we've been hiding aliens for 60-70 years?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is they can't release that stuff, so they wouldn't release that if they have that information. That's something that they wouldn't release. I mean, they could release stuff about the U2 and stuff, because everybody's seen the U2, the Russians shot it down, it's they have one.
Would anybody be that
anything
surprised,
that were about though? The stuff that would be surprising, the stuff they're working on now, would probably be, light years ahead of whatever we thought they could possibly do. I mean, if you had stuff like the SR-71 that was built in like the 1970s, 1960s, and that was then, and you had stuff like the F-117, which was built in like the late 70s, you know, and then we just saw it in like the 90s when they had the first
Gulf War,
first
right?
Iraq War. That was the first time. Yeah. That was like the first time we ever saw it.
That's a crazy looking plane, man.
Yeah, it's so weird, but it's, you know, it's so cool. It's super, oh man, I wish we could just do case file and all the cool jets that have come out of there. But yeah, it's, if you look at the planes that have been tested there or where things, it's stuff that you would never imagine.
They're UFOs.
You know, they were like 10, 20 years ahead of whatever you could possibly imagine.
They're UFOs. That's so like,
yeah.
If they got it from alien technology or not, whatever they're developing there is like beyond human comprehension at the time. So anyone who's seen the, like the U-2 spy plane in when they were flying, it's a UFO. It's going so fast. It doesn't look like any aircraft we know of.
Yeah. It's so high. Like it's twice as high as like a normal aircraft would be flying. And you'd just be like, what is that? Nothing can fly that high. You have no idea because you're just, your imagination's never seen something like that. So it's got to be UFO. And I would think that to explain some of the strange lights that people see, I would think it would be something like the, like how car companies, like when they're testing out new cars, they put on like the weird attachments to kind of hide the outline. So instead, why, you know, it makes sense to me that you would change like the lighting on your jet to just be something weird so people wouldn't be able to get the shape of it.
Make it seem like just like an orb or
something
else.
Yeah. That kind of makes sense to me.
Yeah, just have it with some like bright lights and a couple mirrors so it gives off some weird look from the ground.
Yeah, or just change the arrangement of lights just so you think it's one, like it would look like something, a different shape than it actually is, because that usually ends up being the most important thing is what a jet, the shape of the jet gives you all kinds of details into how that jet works. So doing that at night or whenever you're testing it, you would just change the lights around, maybe make it look a little different. I think that kind of makes sense. That would explain some if they actually do that. I don't know.
For sure. Now, has anyone ever read the book The Day After Roswell?
Is that have anything to do with Lord of the Rings?
No.
Okay, then no.
No, it does not. But anyways, okay, Philip James Corso was an American Army officer, and he wrote a book just before he died, and he spilled the whole beans on that he was part of the team that recovered the craft at Roswell, and they took it to Groom Lake, Area 51, and they reverse engineered the technology, and he ties all these theories about what we're talking about together. So if you're looking for a new book to read about UFOs, I listened to it, I think about a year and a half ago on audiobook. Pretty interesting. And just, like, but as you're reading it, you're like, okay, you're on your deathbed, and you write this book, but you don't like, you didn't keep anything, or you don't like give any more evidence. So I was like, come on, man, something. He died in 98, but he never left anything that we found. I don't know if maybe left something, some more evidence, but I don't know if it got confiscated or what, but the book is good and it ties all these theories we're talking about together. So check it out if you haven't yet.
I mean, I'll have to check it out. It was, what are we time looking on this one?
Oh, we can do whatever we want.
Okay.
It's our own network.
No rules here.
Andrew, what's your thoughts on the whole thing? You've never been a big UFO guy, so what do you think?
I think Bob Lazar is full of shit.
Okay.
I really buy into the technology explosion right after the supposed Roswell crash, right? Like, that's super interesting.
Did go on a huge boom.
But
aliens or yay or nay?
It's tough for me, man. You know what? Yeah, I'm gonna say there's an alien there.
There is?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I think they got something. They got something.
They do. There's something going on there.
Maybe when we're old, like we're all 80, they release something like, we fucking knew it our whole life.
Oh, man, is justified. I would be blown away if I make it to 80.
Yeah, I think it'll be just Zell on the podcast with his with his fucking Yoga Zell body.
Yeah.
Yoga self-body.
Keep breathing, everybody. Keep breathing.
Yeah. I'll be a fucking long in the dirt. Let's wrap this one up, boys. I've had a long couple days. I need to.
Oh, we don't feel sorry for you going to Vegas.
No,
not at all.
I don't want your pity.
Don't be coming over here trying to find pity because there ain't none.
I wasn't trying to find any.
Oh, no.
Let's get to. We don't have any new 5-star reviews. So if you like our podcast, hit us up with a 5-star review. It really helps.
About leaving one.
Do it.
No, this is actually the first week where we have no new reviews.
Yeah, and not it's one been on a Facebook while, or anything. So.
Oh, shit.
Uh-oh. Looks like the podcast is
that's
dying.
That's not good, boys.
We've plateaued. We've officially
nobody
plateaued.
Nobody likes us anymore.
The jig's all right, up. New
they know
Patreons.
We fucking suck.
Oh, I got Patreons.
One. Oh, wait, sorry. I got one review.
Oh, one yeah. Review?
Yeah, we're back. We're back.
We're back. Hey.
Tire pump.
CJ, or did we read this one? Nope, we don't think we did. CJ Tromley from Facebook, 5 stars. Space news. That catch line will go down as my favorite intro to any segment. Needs more auroras, though. Great podcast with plenty of laughs. Keep crushing beers, boys. So we're still good. Boom.
Beautiful. So get to our Patreon supporters. If you're not on our Patreon already, get on it. We've got tons of good stuff. Coming up, we have Winchester House. Me and Dan just recently talked about creepy West Virginia stuff. And we're going into some Cold War conspiracies. That's all on our Patreon. That's Patreon only. Get it for... it's worth it, I think. We've got tons of stuff on there.
Sales pitch. Oh, yeah. Here's a sales pitch. We don't do ads. We don't sell products.
Well, we sell t-shirts.
Well, we sell t-shirts, but we don't sell anyone else's products. We don't promote other people's stuff. So if you support us for $1 a month, we give you the case files early. $3 a month, we record after hours, just us shooting the shit after every case file. And for $5 a month or more, you get our whole classified feed, which is Brayden Sane, ATD Confidentials, usually just Brayden and Dan, crushing conspiracies. Man, we probably got 40 hours worth of bonus stuff on there now. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
About that. That's
so
it.
these are the absolute beauties who have jumped on the Patreon. We got Nicholas, John, Zena. Mr. Zeitgeist.
He went up.
Scott Lindquist also went up from $5 to $5.01.
That a boy.
Everything everything helps, so thank you, Scotty boy.
Wait, that's a hint. If you want to get your name read twice, you got to up your pledge by $0.01.
Hey, every penny. You can't mind your pennies. You can't mind your dollars.
Awesome.
Who else we got here? That is weird. Brett! Gracie S. Ball. Aaron the Alien. And Ronnie.
Ronnie.
I think that's all. I think we've read all the other ones. So, thanks, guys. It really helps, keeps the lights on, just helps us keep growing this thing.
We're growing. Things are coming. People are actually emailing us to come on the show, like authors and stuff now. So we're doing, all the listeners are really helping us out because now people are like, oh, these guys
making
actually.
All the lists are making all the right moves.
All right. Well, Zell, you got a prolapse of the week?
I do. I have a prolapse of the week and I kind of missed it. I don't know how I missed this. This guy, he's just going by Heavy Heavy Music, or his name is Josh. It's an email. I'm not going to give out his email, but he made us a 15-second promo video that some back in December that I don't know how we missed, but it's fucking awesome. So Josh, sells prolapse of the week.
Well, now I'm going to have to go watch it. Let's wrap
shout-outs.
This up.
Shout outs. Quick.
Oh, shout outs.
Not shout outs, I guess, but news. February 9th, Vancouver, the Railway Club or the Railway Stage. Come see my band, Lucky Monkey. It's our third show in Vancouver.
Yeah,
every time.
Fun
keep
time.
Up in the venues, one venue at a time, getting a little bigger. Well, actually, we started at Rogers
you
Arena.
Went down. Yeah,
then we went down back to the bottom, and now we're working our way back up. That's it.
All right. That's all I got. I think that's all we got. So as we see at the end of these things, keep those eyes on the skies.